Hello everyone, it is Sunday morning at 6:14 a.m. We are here with a giant cup of coffee, and we wanted to wake up early today so we get an episode in to talk about our recent two-week road trip in our van. So, we previously had a camper. If you listen to past episodes, big tree fell on it, and we decided not to go ahead and get another camper, and we got a van instead. Mm-hmm. Want to be more mobile and be able to travel around a little bit more and just try it out. So we'd taken a few weekenders with it, but we had recently gone up to Michigan for 2 weeks on a longer road trip. So we wanted to come here today and kind of talk about traveling with kids, how we did it, because I know there's other people out there that want to do that. And we interview lots of people that have done things like this. So we always found it really interesting how they had done it with their families. So we wanted to share that. But first, the first thing we want to talk about is, I wouldn't say it was our first hater on Apple reviews. It wasn't positive, all positive. I'll say they gave us 5 stars for the content. However, apparently the sound quality was not up to their liking. So I will say this too. She's correct. This person was correct for sure. I think she started listening at the beginning. And at the beginning, we always told everybody that we started off with a
$20, $40
mic or something like that, right? So it was a little recorder with 2 little lapel mics. She mentioned that the content was good. However, that the fact that she could hear every swallow that we made was distracting and she couldn't finish listening to the episode.
It just makes me so sad.
I, in turn, fell into tears laughing. Because, number one, she's right. Number two, it's just part of this process, right? We told ourselves we were not going to be those people who went out and bought a bunch of expensive equipment and quit doing this like a week later, which is 99% of people who do podcasts. Because after you start this, you find out that it's a lot of work.
Yes.
And it's hard. So we started off with cheap equipment. Unfortunately, the equipment that we had, it was good for what we were doing and starting off. Mm-hmm. However, it sounds like the microphone is surgically implanted into my Adam's apple.
And I had just finished editing some older episodes, if you've noticed, that we re-released to help people start off their homeschool year. And I had said to Nathan, I cannot believe how many darn swallows I have to edit out.
I also can't believe how many times we just swallow in general. Why do we swallow that much? Not eating or drinking anything. It's just... seems odd. Anywho, we wanted to address that and let everybody know that if you did listen to some of those, the content is good. She's right. Mm-hmm. She was correct. However,
you have to get through like 30 episodes.
Our sound quality gets better, I hope. We have a new mic. We ended up getting a new mic and upgraded after mm-hmm. we knew that we were going to be doing this for a while. So,
yeah, trial and error. It was feedback. I will give them that.
Yes.
We do ask for feedback.
We did ask for that. We got what we asked for.
But we had fixed it. The only problem is they maybe didn't skip through to realize we had.
And if she did, I hope you're enjoying the sound quality and the content now. Moving on.
Yes.
To our trip.
Yeah.
So we're going to start off with the itinerary, right?
Yeah. We're going to do itinerary, probably talk about the setup, challenges, because I always think that those are important. And we even ask our guests about challenges. And then what we loved also. So as far as the places that we went, and we want to share this in case you ever go to Michigan, and then just in general, these can apply to anywhere, the little things that we love. But we first headed off to this KOA that's like in the Grand Haven, West Grand Rapids area. It's basically in between those two towns. And from our house, it says it took 4.5 hours. It took like 5, maybe a little more. And it was the worst route for us. You did not enjoy it. It was all highway. We always try to avoid highway, but there was no avoiding it without doubling our trip. And when you have to actually get back to work, like you're not at leisure, you do have to decide when is it worth taking those back roads and when it's not.
Right. And we always say that that's a big part of our experience is mm-hmm. the driving. Because yes. if the driving is miserable, like anytime you drive through Atlanta, then it ruins your entire trip. Because you don't want to drive up there, and then the entire time you're there, you're thinking about the drive back through Atlanta. I'm just using that as an example because we used to do that all the time, and it's the most miserable place to drive through. But it really does make a big part of the trip. So when we plan these routes, we really try to go through like back roads in the country. Mm-hmm. Like she said, we couldn't do it this time. So yeah, the highway was rough. It was kind of busy, not scenic whatsoever.
No. And you and I, we're both thinking in the back of our heads, oh man, what did we do? This is going to blow. Like,
yeah. So we didn't know what the rest of the trip looked like, which it didn't end up being like
no.
that.
No.
It was that one leg of the trip. So we got through 4.5 to 5 hours and got to our destination.
Yes. So our first stop was this KOA. We liked this KOA because of all of the family fun options that they offer here. It's a great location because if you want to go into Grand Rapids and see the city, it's only about 30 minutes. We didn't do that this trip. And then if you want to go to Grand Haven, it's only about 25 minutes, which we did do. But with the campground itself, you and I both discussed afterwards that even though maybe like the sights weren't like glorious or anything, what they had to offer was you could spend like a week there with the kids and entertain yourself. And then also with the options of going to those two towns, it really would make a great place for a longer. We only stayed there for 2 days and they had 3 fishing ponds. They had a pool, which is great. Then they had, of course, playgrounds. They had, I think, this whole area that we didn't even look at with like paintball. And they had the Friday night or no, Saturday night family wagon rides where he like blares the music and everybody has neon glow sticks and he pulls this huge wagon with the tractor around the whole campground. I went with our oldest and our youngest and we had a blast on there dancing. You stayed behind because our middle son would not stop fishing.
Right.
Which we love that. Like that was another thing I loved because it's things like this that we're able to continue to feed the love of a hobby for our kids. And I just thought that even from that one trip that our son grew so much from being able to just like fish right there. Like he just started to go independently by himself.
Well, it was his first time he really started fishing by himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like hooking or unhooking a fish, right? Didn't mm-hmm. he start to learn that all by himself?
Yeah.
Just because he was that eager and the access is
well,
right
after
there.
The first 3 hours of standing there, I was like, dude, you got to start doing this stuff by yourself because he just wouldn't leave. He fished for, I don't know what, 4 hours straight, at
yes.
least one that one day, and then the rest of the days he was doing the same thing.
Yeah, anytime we got back to the campsite, if we were like hanging out, he was like, can I go fish? And he'd grab his pole and
yeah.
his box and run off on his
wouldn't
own.
Wouldn't eat.
No.
Stood in the blazing sun.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's cool. I get that because I love to fish too and I used to do that. I'm glad he's finding that hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And before we move on, I'd like to say too that we got to do this in off season.
Yes.
Because
we're homeschooling. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that was a big part of this was that we got to go before the mad rush of people. And they even said that when we get up there mm-hmm. along the entire route, was that, hey, you guys came at a good time because in about a week, this whole area gets slammed with people because that's when everybody starts
yep.
their vacation. So
mm-hmm.
it was one of those big moments where you're like, yes, this is awesome that we homeschool and can do this.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah, so KOA, if people don't know what a KOA is,
oh.
we don't really stay at KOAs.
No.
Typically.
Mm-mm.
We usually like peace
State
and
parks.
Solitude and, you know, traditional campgrounds. But KOAs typically have a lot of like activities there for kids and families.
Mm-hmm.
And like she said, this one was pretty great. It was a great start because the kids had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
The owner of this one was really cool. He,
yes.
I wrote this in the blog. I started writing the blog on the trip, but he was in corporate America, businessman, got sick of it, moved his family from Chicago down to Ohio, bought this place and is running it, and grew a giant multicolored mohawk. And now he... Now he runs the KOA campground, and he was super nice, and
yes.
Yeah, you could tell he enjoys what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was really neat that we got to you know talk to the owner and kind of get his background.
Yeah, hear his story.
Mm-hmm.
Should have sat down with a microphone.
I know that would have been fun, but I don't know if the lapel mics will work anymore because of the swallowing.
I can't. All right, so Grand Haven City Beach, we went there because, like I said, it was about 25 minutes. Why did we go specifically to that beach? Because when you're traveling with dogs, it gets tricky. We had to find a dog-friendly beach, and thankfully, it appears that Michigan actually has quite a few. I have been told by some followers that is not the case in other areas, which is really sad. I guess we've been fortunate enough to live in areas where they are more dog-friendly. But this one is. Every day, this beach is open to dogs until 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. So we took advantage of that, and we went, and we also enjoyed that because, again, it's more quiet on the beach. There was, like, nobody there when we first pulled up, and they didn't start to trickle in until about noon. So that beach was beautiful, and it worked out to be able to bring our dog. And it was just a glimpse of Grand Haven that we got to see. We never got to go back.
No.
But now we know that that's like a place that I'd like to go back to.
What was really cool about there was the parking lot had about 3 to 4 vans that were all decked out for traveling like mm-hmm. ours. And that was cool. Like yes. You saw it.
Yes.
Like that people are out there doing that.
Yes.
I thought that was neat.
Yeah. And our kids got super excited. They have a van too.
Yeah.
And it, again, these are the moments where having the van is awesome. We each had to take turns doing something in the van, changing in the van, and we were able to do that there. Where with the regular vehicle, it's really hard. Like, we just tried to do, I think, change one of the kids in my car the other day. Yes, after camp.
Yeah. Or, like, grabbing the bags and shuffling to the public restroom and hoping to God you don't drop your clothes on the floor in the urinal or the stall. Like, that's fun. So, being able to, like, jump in the van and change everybody or go grab a bite to eat out of the sun and hang out, that was really neat that we were able to, like, experience that. Like, yes. Oh, yeah, this is cool having the van instead of dragging around the camper, you know, and then being in a smaller vehicle.
Yes, which we've also been able to experience those moments here at home when we do our day trips.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Again, when we were there, it was just another reminder when we're out traveling how awesome it is to have that feature with the van. So from there, we went to travel to Young State Park, which is what? Oh, gosh.
It's right outside of Petoskey.
Thank you. I'm like, it's not...
It's the northern part of Michigan before you get to the Upper Peninsula.
Right, before you start crossing the bridge.
Right, okay. So if you're not familiar with Michigan, you have this Michigan, but then you also have, it's part of Michigan, but Upper Peninsula. So you have to cross a bridge, and that's like the very most northern part of Michigan. Mm-hmm. And they call it the UP, the Upper Peninsula. We really wanted to get up there this summer, but we couldn't. We wanted to make sure we enjoyed our time and weren't rushing around. But yeah, we went pretty far north up into the main state.
Yes. And people ahead of time had said that we should probably just focus on the West Coast, which is what we did. That there wasn't too much on the East. I'm sure there's things to go see and some special spots.
No offense to anybody that lives on the East Coast of Michigan. No, they just said that it was more so that the beaches are beautiful on the West Coast compared to the East Coast because of the way the sand gets pushed across the lake.
Right.
And so since we were going to spend a lot of time by the beach, we just decided to stay on the West Coast.
And again, when you're on a time restraint, you kind of have to be smart, which is why we said the UP should just be completely separate.
Yeah.
So on the way there, which was about, I think that drive was about 3 hours between the two parks, we stopped at this, again, we wanted to find a dog-friendly beach. Sometimes these little headaches turn out to be little blessings. And I found this tiny beach on the map, kind of off the beaten path in Manistee, Michigan. And we pull in this tiny parking lot that is on the outside. I'm like, oh my gosh, where are we? Like, where did I bring us? This is going to stink. Like, you just didn't know.
It was right behind, the parking lot was tucked in right behind like this industrial park. And not that it was sketchy, but it was all like this giant business area, like warehouses.
Yes.
It's like, this can't be very pretty.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't see the beach yet.
No. So we crossed through, and it's like this long path through the woods, and then you go down this staircase all the way down to the beach. And it was like heaven when we got down there.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I wanted to pinch myself. That's how beautiful it was. I could not believe, and I just kept saying, I found this! I did this! Like,
yeah, it was an awesome find. Coming from Florida in the South, there's really not much in the way of secluded beaches anymore.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't really exist. I'm sure there's somebody out there that says I've been to this spot before, but in general, there's not a secluded beachfront. Mm. This place was like where they film movies.
Yeah,
because the beach was beautiful. Like, amazing. And it was, believe it or not, the lake has turquoise blue water.
Yes.
And it looks like the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Which you wouldn't have believed. If you went down one side of the beach, it was these beautiful homes, like on the kind of the cliff face.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was one person on the beach.
Yes.
And in the opposite direction of those homes, there was nothing.
Nothing. And just green.
Green, just forest line and beachfront.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all to ourselves.
Yes.
And it was like I'm telling you, it was out of the movie. It was like that beautiful turquoise water, the driftwood up on the beaches.
On the white sand.
White sand, pristine. There was no trash.
Mm-mm.
Nothing. And dog friendly, so that we had the dog out running around in the water.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
We have lots of pictures and on Instagram. I'm trying to think. I know I did a post. A lot of it was stories, so I may have to post some more so they permanently stay up there on our page.
But the cool thing about that experience was that, number one, we realized that if we had the camper, we never would have gone there because we'd be pulling this gigantic nuisance.
Yep.
And you wouldn't have gone off, you know, the side path where we had to go to get to this place.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody does that, or nobody wants to do that when you're pulling a big camper.
No.
And you go from point A to point B and that's it, because you don't know what the roads are going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And having the van, we were able to do that stress-free.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we pulled into this place, got changed in the van because there were no restrooms there.
No.
And had an amazing break on our trip.
Mm-hmm.
Spent a couple hours there. Got back in the van and then shot back up to the Petoskey area.
Yes.
So it was one of those moments where you realize that you made a good choice, because
yes,
the experience you just had wouldn't have happened otherwise if you hadn't made that choice to like try something new,
mm-hmm.
i.e., you know, doing this in a van instead of a camper.
Yeah, because we continue to get comments like, "What? Like, why would you guys go from RV life to van?" And this was exactly one of the reasons why. And we were like patting ourselves on the back, like, "Yes, this is what we were looking for." For that more simplified lifestyle and vacation, and where we don't have to second guess where we are going to go. And you can just go anywhere without having to worry about all that stuff.
Right. And don't get us wrong. There are things that are way more comfortable in the camper. And we'll get there. I'm not saying everything's better in the van, because it's not.
Nope. But this is why we have to convince ourselves these moments are the ones that we're going to take and be like, yes, this is what we're looking for. Our family, at least. So then we make it to Young State Park, and this is on Lake Charlevoix, and it's probably also about 30 minutes from, I'm going to say it wrong, I always do Petoskey. Okay. This was our favorite, I think for me, this was my favorite campground
ever.
Yeah. Ever, hands down. Did not expect this. Again, people, I was booking these campgrounds just because of location, and then also because we booked these, I think, 4 months in advance, and things were already booking up. So like, some of my first choices were already booked. I think this was one of those where it was like a second pick. It wasn't even my first pick.
No, none of them were, I don't believe.
Yeah.
And so for anyone who is looking at taking a trip and camping, and if you aren't quite used to doing this, campgrounds fill up way in advance.
Yes.
In the year. So
especially
just,
now.
Yeah. So just start planning your trip early.
Yes. Because if we left this up to Nathan, we would never go on road trips.
Winging it. We'd be sleeping in a Walmart parking lot probably.
Like at that 4 month mark, I was like, you know, we really have got to book some stuff. And he's like, and I just like took it upon myself finally. we wouldn't go anywhere.
You get that.
Even our weekend camping trips, if we left it up to you, we'd actually never would go camping.
Yes. How does everyone feel about sleeping at the Flying J truck stop? Because that's the only thing that's available.
So Young State Park, what we loved is that the sites were great. Again, it's a state park, so it's beautiful. A lot of the nature has been preserved in the campground. It's big. I don't even think we saw all of it. But the loop that we were in, and I think most of the loops are like this, you literally just walk down to the end of your loop and the beach is right there.
Yeah, so like a maybe 2 minute walk if that.
Yeah. Right there, and it is a beautiful beach.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Turquoise water. The coastline looked like some European village.
Yes.
And it was very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
The beach that this park is on. There was like barely anybody there most of the days that we went out there. See, now I'm self-conscious every time I clear my throat or anything. Like the coffee's getting me all gunked up. And now I'm self-conscious that I think it was JoJo is listening and critiquing my swallowing.
Sorry, JoJo. We're only human.
So, she did give us 5 stars.
She did, thank you.
For content. But, yeah, this park is, again, one of the guys told us. We met a great guy who has been camping there for 30-something years
yes,
with his family.
I love that.
Every year, he took his family there, and then once they became grown, they still meet up there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a teacher in the Grand Rapids area.
Principal,
and he told us that, again, we made it by about a week, week and a half before it gets crowded.
Yes.
And that's apparently why we enjoyed it so much, because we came early, because we homeschool and we were able to book this.
Yeah, he even said, oh, what do you guys do that you can just come on over during this time
right.
for this long?
Yes. So that was neat. And that, yeah, if you camp in that area, you have to check that place out.
Yes. I think one of my favorite things was that we were able to take our coffee in the beach early in the morning, and then we watched most of the sunsets there at night.
Oh, yeah.
While the kids ran around, I had my glass of wine. It was great.
And it was still cool, so we'd go in the morning with sweatshirts on and coffee, and the kids would just play. We'd go back and eat breakfast, maybe go out for the day, do something, and then
No, we didn't really leave there.
Oh, that's true.
We wanted to be beach bums there.
That's true, yeah. We pretty much hung out. We'd go back, make some food. The kids would hang out at the campground for a little bit, and then we'd go back to the beach, and then we'd come back, make dinner, and then go back to the beach again for sunsets and glass of wine or whatever, and the kids would play and swim. It was awesome. We haven't done that for a long time. Like, just spent our time on the beach.
Yes.
And that was nice being able to do that, and not having to like pile into the car or the van and like shuffle back and forth, and just be able to walk down there.
Yeah. One of the places that we did go to while we were there was a laundromat.
Oh, Anita found this fascinating. apparently she's never been to a laundromat
before. I have not. Is that bad? I'm sorry.
No, I mean, nowadays most people, if you live in a house, right? Like, it's typically going to be someone who lives in like in a complex.
Yeah.
Because they don't have access to their own washer and dryer, which I've been there. Yeah, we had to go use the laundromat.
I loved it. I don't know if that's weird, but I actually loved the experience. I told you, I think it was because it partly made me feel like we were in nomad life, for sure. It's like, oh, we're doing our laundry out on the road. This is like an official thing right here. And I love that feeling. And this one, we did look out. This was a brand new
I've been into some sketchy laundromats before. So, yeah, she got to experience, like, the really nice one. Everything was brand new. The people were super friendly that were there. And
they actually had a kids section for, like, a reading station in case you wanted your kids to hang out. There was a Dollar General next door.
If you're in the area, this was in Boyne City.
Thank you. I should have written that down.
So if you're in the area, Boyne City is the place you want to go to do laundry.
Yes. Super nice.
And right across the street is this beautiful lake. It's not even Lake Charlevoix. I don't believe it was a separate lake.
No, I think it was.
Same?
Yes.
Was it?
Yes, it was. A different part of it, but yeah. So I love that. I love that experience. And now I know that I can handle that. That was actually a whole learning curve for me. I had to ask her, how do you do this? I don't even know how to do this.
Well, that one was odd too, because it's not the old like chain style. It was all digital, and it was a little confusing how they had it set up. But yeah, it did make you kind of feel like you were pushing past that weekender status, right? And then you're on the road. And then I get to, I had my iPad. I still had to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked in the van. The kids were in the back watching a movie
eating
in the
snacks.
Parking lot, eating snacks. And Anita went and did the laundry. So it was cool.
It was
you're getting out of that comfort zone of that normal weekend camping trip. And you realize, like, okay, we're doing life while we're on the road.
Yes. And another reason why we had to do this was a learning curve for me. We assumed that there were laundry facilities at these state parks in Michigan. Apparently that's not a thing. It's not like Florida.
Yeah, most Florida campgrounds have laundry facilities, and that's why we thought we'd be fine. Mm-hmm. And when we got there, we realized Michigan does not have that at most of them.
Mm-mm.
And that laundry mat was brand new. One person said you used to have to drive like an hour.
Yes. So we looked out.
We did, because I just would have worn dirty clothes, I think.
Gosh, that would have been awful.
I'm not driving an hour to a laundry mat.
Smelling a little ripe in here.
She would have worn all my clothes at once and gone in the lake. Washed up.
You would. The first couple days were like blowing through your clothes. I was like, hey, you better slow down. I don't know when we're going to have the chance to do laundry. Okay, so then from there, we dropped back down, right? So
hang on. Okay. You have to insert first calamity, do we not?
I didn't know that was going to be part of the challenges.
Oh, okay, go ahead. We'll just do the...
We'll go back.
We'll just do that.
And we can say where that happened. So then it was Interlochen. So then we dropped back down because we went to the most northern for a trip and then wanted to come back down again. Interlochen State Park is the state park between two smaller lakes. This, for us, was not one that we really wanted to spend our days at.
No.
I don't know why.
It wasn't dirty. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't anything.
Maybe we got spoiled right away. I don't know.
Yeah.
What it was, though, a great place for day trips because of the location. It is about 25 minutes from Traverse City. For us, we just drove through it. We actually didn't end up hanging out like I thought we would. You can go to the two different peninsulas that jut out right above Traverse City. Those were the main things. We did the two peninsulas and the Sleeping Bear Dunes. So the first peninsula we went to is called Lilanu Peninsula. I think I'm saying that correctly. I'm not sure, so I'm sorry. That was our favorite peninsula, actually. We kept getting recommendations to go to Old Mission Peninsula, which we went the next day. But this was my favorite. It was just more rural. It was more quiet.
Oh, it was like farms and vineyards, and it was undeveloped, really.
Oh my gosh. The drive through was amazing. Like, I wish I could have just recorded the whole drive through that peninsula. Because we went to the very tip of both peninsulas, which I'm glad we did. That was probably, again, one of my favorites of that part of the trip. And so we went to Lilanu State Park, which is at the very northern tip of that peninsula. And they have the lighthouse there. That's the lighthouse we went to with the scavenger hunt for the kids. And it was super windy that day.
Oh, man. It felt like it was during the middle of winter.
Yes.
It was just, the wind was cranked, but it was awesome. Nice, really cool old lighthouse that they have as like a museum now. So we got the tour of that.
We were in there for several hours
because
of the scavenger hunt.
Yeah, it dragged on a little too long.
And the kids did not want to quit.
Yeah.
They wanted to do everything. But again, this is all like part of the lifestyle with homeschooling. They were learning so much going through. It's these places that we go to also tend to have a lot of learning involved, and they eat it up. They love it.
They do. And like we said at the beginning, the drive was really the biggest part of that trip and that day.
Yes.
The drive was amazing, and that entire day was based around our trip, the actual road trip, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. We then went to Fishtown.
That's right. That was that day. I was like, did we do anything else that day? Yeah.
Oh, so we did two more things that day.
Yeah, so Fishtown, right? So Fishtown is I think it's like one of the last actual working fishing villages on the lake.
Yes.
Because they do commercially fish the lake somewhat. And it looks like an old fishing village.
Yeah.
It is meant to look like an old fishing village. So it's not, I wouldn't say it's truly genuine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a touristy place.
Yes.
And so we wanted to stop there and check it out. And it was cool to go see for sure.
Our son really wanted to go.
He did, because he loves fishing. And as everybody knows that travels at all, that the worst place to go find food is at a tourist attraction. Mm-hmm. So we went there and checked it out, tried to get some food, and nothing genuine about it. It was disappointing, to say the least, the food part of it. Anita was really sad.
So sad. Yeah. So sad.
But yeah, I would definitely stop if you're around the area just to go look at it, because, you know, the Great Lakes has a huge, the history is there. There's a ton of history on these lakes, mm-hmm. for like shipping and fishing, and to be able to go see, like, hey, they still commercially fish this, and what they call usually whitefish in that area. Mm-hmm. They serve it at a lot of restaurants, is, mm-hmm. you know, they call it whitefish. And to be able to go see that was worth it for the kids to see the history of the area that we live in.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And our son still loved it. He wanted you to read all the signs about the town and take them down to the little docks and
the pier, and mm-hmm. they have like one of the commercial fishing boats there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was cool. It was worth it. It was very crowded.
Yes. That was, I think, the most crowded place we had been,
which we were surprised.
Yes. On a very cold and windy day. So
right.
In the middle of summer.
But yeah, hey, look, we're touring the coastline of Michigan. You have to go see stuff like that while we're there.
Which we knew that. We said we were going to have a mix, because there are some things that I want to know what it's all about. Like, what is the big to do with this? So we did. And then we ended with 45 North Vineyard. When I go on road trips, that is always on my bucket list, is to find a vineyard. The vineyards are probably always my most favorite part of the trip. This vineyard did that again for me. This one was awesome. It was beautiful. I think I read that it's like on 100 acres. So they have this beautiful building that you can go either inside the winery or lounge out on the patio. They have a covered patio area that have heaters. And that day we actually needed the heaters. We wanted to stay in that covered outdoor patio area. They are dog friendly. Again, why did I find this place? Because I had to find a vineyard that was dog friendly. And these people are. They were great. Then they also have on the other side of the building of for the outdoor part, what do they have? Bocce ball and all these tables, like some kid-friendly stuff right there. Mm-hmm. Again, that's another check on my box, is if they're family-friendly. So dog-friendly, family-friendly, and that you have like a nice outdoor area to hang out. Because when I go to a vineyard, I don't want to be inside the winery. I want to be outside enjoying the view. And then this one was particularly cool because it had miles of hiking trails.
Yeah, they actually had groomed trails through their vineyard and through the like woods that they had on the property. They use them for snowmobile trails in the winter, and mountain biking trails. So you could go out all day and hike. I mean, you could be out there for a while, the trails, and then come back and grab a glass of wine, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. I thought that was neat. Like, I was like, man, we could have come in. Oh, and cross-country skiing.
Yes.
Trails in the winter. So you could go cross-country ski, come back and get a glass of wine and hang out and a bite to eat. Mm-hmm. So we found that pretty amazing. And the kids had a blast. I even had Geo, and our daughter came across a geocache box.
Yes, that's right. And I was like, no, that's not it. And she goes, yes, it is, because she learned it from her American Heritage Girls meetings.
Yeah.
I was so proud of her for that. But yeah, great place. Highly recommend it. And again, it's just one of those things when we're traveling, I have to find a vineyard. So then the next day we go to Old Mission Peninsula, which is the one that everybody talks about. And that one was nice too. Lots of farms. But again, the other one was probably my top choice. And we went to the most northern tip there, which was also a lighthouse. That one was Mission Point Lighthouse. Unfortunately, it was closed when we got there. It didn't say that on the website, but we could walk around the grounds and like read the history on the exterior part. And then it's right on the beach, obviously. And so we went down to the beach and we spent a lot of our day there, and they were finding a lot of dead crawfish, right?
Oh, yeah.
They were beautiful crawfish though, like multicolored, but our kids still had a blast. Like, they didn't care that the lighthouse was closed. And we made a day for it. But on the way there, we did stop at the Old General Store mm-hmm. for lunch. We finally got a decent meal besides like camping meals and then the one terrible meal the day before. And you ordered a pasty, which we learned was a traditional type food up in
Michigan. Pasty or pasty?
Oh, man. I worked so hard to say it right.
Yeah. Pasty.
I even said it to you last night.
So it's like a local dish. It's basically a croissant outer shell.
Yeah.
With, it had pork and potatoes and onion inside.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a married couple that own the general store. It is off the beaten path. It is this old general store. You walk in and they have like the penny candies with the scoops and the, you know, different like local sodas that they make. And it was really cool. And the owner, she is as genuine as they come. She is a character. And they make these homemade. Mm-hmm. And so apparently I hope I don't get this wrong, but the story is that these things used to take them to work. They used to go to like the mines or something, and they could heat these things up like on their shovel at work. So they'd take them to work and be able to cook them at, you know, while on the job.
Yeah.
And so it's like a local thing.
Yeah.
And in Michigan, so it was delicious. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. And you got to stop in this place if you're ever in the area and get one.
Yeah. And then just again, that's all part of the trip, was that we took the time to stop and talk to the owner, hear her story. And it just reminded us again why traveling is so cool. Like, you meet all these people that you wouldn't normally meet. Same with podcasting. So we had talked to the KOA owner, we talked to her, and those are just all part of the experience, which I loved. All right, then that was it. So we were supposed to go back to Grand Haven to end our trip, but it had started raining on our last day at Interlochen State Park, and the radar just kept showing rain and rain and rain over the course of the next 3 to 4 days. And we decided that because we were tent band camping and because we have 3 kids and a dog, that we would just head back for our last 2 days. So we did cut our trip short about 2 days and head back home. And that's just one of those things that it wasn't worth it to us because of the situation. Like, I think if it was just the two of us, it'd be a different story.
Yeah, and it didn't end on a bad note at all. We just decided, you know, we wanted to end it on a good note, and there was no need to go sleep in the mud.
No.
With the dog.
No, because again, you can't go to like these indoor places. Like, let's go to the movies then, or let's go to these museums because of the dog.
Right.
So it does change things when you travel with pets. All right, so that's it for that. So the setup, pretty much, just to run down the setup. We've got the van.
Okay, so it's a 1999 Ford E150 conversion van that we purchased. So yes. It has the back bench seat folds down into a bed. We removed one of the pilot. There's 2 captain's chairs behind the driver's seat. We removed one of those to make some extra space. Yep. And before we left, we decided that we would also purchase a tent.
Mm-hmm.
We had a tent, but we wanted to get a smaller tent for traveling. And so we purchased a Coleman 4-man tent so that the 2 older kids could sleep in that. We could also store some of our gear in there at the campsite. And then Anita and I and our smallest would sleep in the van at night.
Mm-hmm. And that worked out great.
It did. This is where we, you know, you realize that the camper has some clear advantages, like sleeping, right? So the van, I'll be honest, I was fine. However, like a quarter of my legs hang off the end of this bed.
Yes.
So angling was key, like trying to figure out the correct angle. And at no point was this as comfortable as sleeping in a camper.
No, it's not.
But it didn't bother me.
No. I have, to be honest, I actually have I can have back issues, and it never flared sleeping like this, which I was shocked. I could have put money down that was going to happen because of our sleeping arrangements, but it didn't bother me. I still slept, and I actually loved the cozy feeling when we would lay down at night in the van.
Yeah, I did too. Oh, it was cool. And the little one slept, where we removed the seat, mm-hmm. we put on a sleeping pad down there for him, and he slept down there.
Yes. He loved it.
He did. He thought he was the king down there.
Yeah.
We did also bring and purchase a portable air conditioner.
Yes.
Mostly because of the dog, right? So when we wanted to go down to the beach for the day and you couldn't take the dog, you can't obviously leave a dog in a van in the summer. No. So the only way to do that for us was to purchase a portable AC that you obviously plug in at the campsite. And that was probably the best idea we had, because not only could we leave the dog in the van, but it was pretty awesome to get in the van at night and have it nice and chilly and cold after a hot day. And we slept like babies because of it.
Thankfully.
And it really worked out. Yeah. So we have some pictures and video of us, I believe, setting it up and how we had the setup. So if anybody's out there that is concerned about that, like, how am I going to stay cool in the van? Because that thing will get hot.
Yes.
More so than even a tent, because the tent will cool off quickly at night. This in a metal van, you're going to be baking in there.
Yeah.
And you can't really ventilate a whole lot unless you have a fan set up, because, I mean, ours has windows, but not all vans have windows that you can roll down, especially with bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Bugs in the summer.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was our setup. And there's some things that we'd like to change and extend the bed a little bit, but hey, it worked for us.
It did. We had the canopy in case we had rain or sunny days, which that works until we figure out if we're going to get an awning on our van. And that folded up real nice into our van as well, which will be part of the videos. And then we cooked and prepped all but two meals the entire trip, which I think is also just part of the experience. We don't like eating out.
No.
It's budget friendly. We saved a ton of money that way. And then there were also moments where our daughter was helping you cook. So it's just that experience of our kids cooking.
It's nothing like cooking around the campsite and everybody's hanging out and the boys were drawing or reading or something. Yep. And we also purchased a nicer cooler because of this. We looked at getting a plug-in like cooler slash fridge, which a lot of people that travel around in vans have. But man, for a family of five, those things do not come very large. And if they come large, they're very expensive and massive. And it just didn't, it wasn't going to work for us. It would have been nice to have a plug-in. So we went with a nice traditional cooler that we found for a reasonable price. Because if you look at like Yetis or something like that, the prices are ridiculous.
Yes.
And we also use it for the middle console between our two chairs in the front.
It's like a table.
Because when we bought the van, it came with a middle console that contained a TV from, I don't know, 1990 and a VCR. So we weren't going to use those because I don't have any VHS tapes. So we ripped that out of there and we have an empty space. So we used the cooler for like a table. And then, you know, it's there to grab snacks as well. But we'll have the links to the stuff in the show notes too.
Definitely.
Because all the stuff that we used worked out great for us. I don't think I have any complaints for any of that stuff. But these are all things you learn as you travel.
Yes.
What works and what doesn't.
And one more thing that I think also is important, it's so minor, is having the rope to tie between trees to hang your towels.
Oh, the clothesline.
Yeah,
that's called a clothesline for anybody out there.
The rope.
So yes, we purchased some rope, some line, and we used that for our clothesline. And that was obviously just some one of those little things that you might forget to bring and you realize you need it, especially with a family of five and a dog. We had a lot of stuff to dry out.
Especially when we're being beach bumps most of the time. Those towels and bathing suits were constantly wet. So that worked. And when we went to the laundromat, apparently I learned something also where you don't want to stick too much in the dryer, because when I took everything out, our towels were still damp. And I probably should have done two separate loads. So that was a learning point for me.
That doesn't just happen at laundromats. That also happens at home. So, so don't stick too much into a dryer.
These things are huge though. But it was nice to have this set up. Just a little point there. All right, so I think we'll wrap it up with like some of the challenges. So what you were alluding to earlier was that in the middle of our trip.
Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So no matter what, if you have a big family, something silly is going to happen, guaranteed, right? So our family, that's going to happen every single time. We just wait for it. So when we were at the second campground, you have to insert Calamity 1. Right. So one of our stops along our trip in Boyne City was the emergency room. I decided to go try to take the dog for a jog because he hadn't really gotten any energy out on one of the trails. Of course, dog being a dog takes off. I have him on a leash, but he's like pulling my arm sideways into the woods to go smell probably some other animal urine. And I'm turned around to yell at him. And as soon as I turn around, I step on a giant rock and my ankle went sideways. And so we had to go to the emergency room because I thought we broke it. And so I spent a portion of our trip on crutches.
Yes.
After like 2-3 days on crutches, I just...
You gave up.
I just cinched it down with a brace really tight and hobbled around because I wasn't going to be doing that for the next week.
But even when you went to the ER, we made the most of it. So we dropped you off and the kids and I found a local park and we went and we enjoyed the park while you were at your visit. So they, to them... It's us adults stressing over these things, but to them, we made sure that the fun continued.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That you're always making the best of it. And I think that that mindset was so important for them.
Yeah, and we tried, made sure not to complain and that we were still going to have a good time. And it was the greatest emergency room experience I've ever had, which I couldn't believe. I'm like, I'm going to go sit in this place all day long and it's going to be miserable. They got me in within like, I don't know, 15 minutes because there was no appointments.
Right,
walk-in only.
Mm-hmm.
15 minutes to get me in. The staff was really nice. They get an x-ray. The next thing you're like, you want crutches and a brace? Yes, please. They get me the crutches and the brace, and they got me out of there like, what, an hour?
An hour. Everything done in an hour.
Hour. That does not happen in emergency rooms, ever.
We even sent you with like a lunchbox. Like,
Even commented. They're like, oh, that's you packed for the day, didn't you there? Because my daughter packed me a whole lunch. I had my book. And I was like, yeah, I thought I was going to need this. I thought I was going to be like hunkering down in this place for like the entire day. And so, yeah, I was out of there an hour and we just carried on with our business. We went by the lake, hung out. I think that's the day that we parked.
Made the peanut
parked by the lake. We found this nice city park. We parked down there on the dirt by the water, opened all the van doors, dropped the back down, and we made sandwiches. Mm-hmm. Let the kids play, and we just hung out and sat in the sun and watched the water, really. It was nice.
It was another benefit to having a van.
Yeah.
Love it. And then the other ridiculous thing that happened was that the littlest started off, again, middle of the trip, with this little cough. And I was like, oh, it's because he yells all day like a little superhero.
Yeah, we're like making excuses like, oh, he's got allergies, or he makes these weird noises all day, these guttural noises, and we thought maybe his throat was scratchy. This was wishful thinking. Yeah, and then a day later, he's feeling sick, he's popped a fever.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, we're just looking at each other like, this never ends well. It's always patient zero, right? The little one gets it, and then it rips through the entire family like by the next day. And that's exactly what happened.
Yep, except for this one. Yeah. Last man standing, and I didn't get it.
Yeah, we all know that mothers have like superpowers. That way they can take care of the rest of their family. And so yeah, Anita lucked out and didn't get sick somehow. The rest of us were down and out for like, I wouldn't say down and out. We were feeling pretty terrible. Like, I ended up popping the fever for a night.
Everybody was down a day.
A day hard, mm-hmm. and then feeling kind of crummy for, like, the next 2 days.
Yes.
But again, we stayed positive. We still enjoyed ourselves. We'd go down by the water and just sit in the sun on the sand and, you know, try to recover and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And that's never fun when you're in a van or in a tent and the kids were in a tent. You know, you had to go sleep with him for a night because
the middle son, he was so miserable at night he couldn't sleep, so I had to go in the tent with him and we put our daughter in the van. But we were thankful to have a van because the youngest was in his worst night, we realized worst day, because even during the day if somebody was feeling down they could be like in the air conditioning laying down quietly.
Turn air conditioning on, put a movie on because they were just miserable.
Yeah.
And it was We thank God that we had that, because trying to do that in a tent,
not the same.
No, that's a long day in a tent.
Yeah, so I think the van is like a great like best between the two worlds, an RV and then tent. This one's a great middle ground, and it was for us. So yeah, that's pretty much our trip.
I want to say this too. The other thing that is a challenge is that when you sleep in the van, but you also travel around during the day in the van, you have to
do the shuffle.
So we get the word
from classroom less traveled.
Yeah, when
we Tara and Jared.
Right, when we talk to them, they call it the shuffle. So every time that they would take their van somewhere, they have to do the shuffle from the van to I think they were staying in Airbnbs mm-hmm. a lot of nights. And we understood exactly what they meant as soon as we started doing this. So like you get the whole bed set up, you get the little one set up. The next morning, like, let's go into town. Well, you have to take all that down, get the seats set back up, the car seats put back in, mm-hmm. and then do the same thing and set it all up again at night. And so that's why we had the tent. We could take all that stuff and we put it into the tent. Mm-hmm. Nothing really valuable. If somebody needs to steal my bag of t-shirts and underwear and some sheets, I guess they needed it more than we do, so we weren't too worried about it. And but, you know, after a day or two of doing it, we just got into a routine and it didn't really bother us. But, I mean, it can be a pain.
It can. But I'm telling you, though, it sounds weird, but I actually got some pleasure out of this lifestyle. I really did. Like, I started to enjoy that we were conquering this routine and getting better at it every time. And then when we would come back and for us to have to set up again, I was completely fine. I was like, you can take care of that. I got this. And I'd, like, lay out the couches and move the car seats, you know, like, I enjoyed it. And so that's where we can end it, is that regardless of all the challenges and roughing it from a camper to this, absolutely loved it. And I missed it 2 days after a hot shower and great beds at home. I was ready to go back into it again.
We did. Yeah. It's always great to come home, get into your bed and take a nice shower in your own house. But after 2 days, we both looked at each other and like, yeah, I'm ready to hit the road again. Like, I don't care that it wasn't as comfortable or the, you know, the challenges. We were ready to go. And we said this, I think a big thing with road tripping, there's this part of you that you de-stress in a big way because you're leaving all the responsibilities of your home mm-hmm. and your entire scope of responsibility becomes this small van or the small area, whatever you're traveling in. And that's like this freeing feeling.
Yes.
I think that's a big part of that road tripping or traveling, is that your scope of responsibility shrinks.
Yes.
And when you come home, you realize that all the things that you have in your house, they all come with these responsibilities. And you have to sit down and decide whether those are things are worth it or not. We've mm-hmm. thought about that. Like, man, do we, you know, like the whole time, like, oh God, what's the lawn going to look like when we get back? Is it, we're going to be able to cut that thing? It's going to be so high. And just the, like, the house projects that have to be done and
cleaning and everything at home. It was again, 2 days into it, I realized we were back into like life. I mean, that's life. You own a home, you have responsibilities. And when we were out there, I didn't worry about any of that. I didn't think about it. What we had was very simple. I love the simplicity of it. And I even loved the slight challenge. Like every day I felt like we were accomplishing something and proving to ourselves that we could do it.
Absolutely.
And the kids never complained. Not once. They actually missed it too. They loved it. And they were, you know, the two older ones were the ones sleeping in the tent the entire time. We had a little bit of luxury over them. They didn't care.
No.
They loved every single part of it. And they do. We just had 5 years in an RV. They knew what that was like. So they were spoiled with that. And they didn't even once talk about missing that or I wish we were there. No.
No, they talked about how much they loved the van. Mm-hmm. And I think they took pleasure out of the challenge too a little bit. And they just soaked every bit of it up. And I think that's how you make cool human beings, right?
Yes.
As you raise them like mm-hmm. that. So I loved it. And that's only 2 weeks. You know, we talked to people who've been doing this, do this for a year. It's nice having a home base.
It is.
I wouldn't say I would want to like not have a house at all and like live in a van. Like mm-hmm. I like to be able to come home. I like to have a garden, room to roam mm-hmm. in your own spot. But man, it was one of those moments where you're like, man, we could definitely do something smaller that you could just lock up and leave and not really worry about.
Mm-hmm. I was really hoping that I could convince you for career change. So we could leave more often for these longer trips.
That it does make you wish you could work remotely, which I can't, and do this more often. But there's a lot of people who can't do that. And that's part of this too, is realizing that we can do this and just plan the trips. You just have to plan it.
Yes.
And you plan it around work. Mm-hmm. and you find the time. And even if it's not 2 weeks or longer, if it's a weekend, just get out there and do it. Yes. Like as soon as we got home, on the drive home, Anita booked another one because she was already getting sad that we were heading home. We already have some weekenders mm-hmm. booked and set. One's coming up next week, actually.
Oh, yeah.
With the Boy Scouts. Yep. And so we're going to take the van and we're going to crash in the van and the kids are going to sleep in the tent at the Boy Scout meeting. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just make it happen. It doesn't have to be this grand, month-long plus adventure. No. It can be an overnighter. It can be a weekender, but just go out and do it.
Yes. We try to keep it real here on this podcast because this is reality and not everybody can leave for months and months or weeks and weeks.
So no.
This is how you do it. All right.
So yeah, great trip. Guys, get out there and explore and enjoy this awesome summer. Get out there and travel with your kids.
All right, until next time.
All right, time to get some more coffee. Yes. Have a great rest of your day.
Bye.